Good afternoon, everyone.
Hello, Luke.
Long time no see. Actually, we have some new faces here today, don't we?
We do, yeah.
Bernie may have already mentioned, but Councillor Filmer is unable to attend today. So we have a few options. One, I could chair the meeting, or you could, as a committee, appoint an interim chair for today and run the meeting that way. So I'm talking now because he is not here, but if you want to hear less of me, then if someone could make a motion, they can appoint an interim chair. Thank you.
Well, I would make the motion that Rob Ferguson chair the meeting, if he would accept.
Oh, boy. I was just going to do the same thing to Luke, but happy to defer whatever's cleanest for you, Luke. Oh, you're muted.
Either way is fine with me. You know, if you'd prefer that I chair, I'm more than happy to.
To be honest, Peter, I'm a little bit out of practice. I haven't chaired a meeting for a while, so maybe I'll defer to
Luke. Certainly, that's fine. Whatever. Yep.
I'll defer.
Okay. In that case, I might as well unmute and leave it that way. So I think maybe before we get started, we should just spend a minute and introduce the new members of the committee. So so maybe I can ask, let's see, Noah would be closest to the top of the list amongst new committee members, and then we'll go to the tried and true veteran members.
Hi there, I'm Noah. Joined committee just to see what I can help out anyway, the community.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Noah. And your last name is Rosano, if I'm correct, right?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Good to have you with us. And next I see Kelly.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi, Kelly.
Yeah. Hi. So I'm happy to be joining the committee and looking forward to what we can accomplish in the next 2 years.
Oh, perfect. Okay, so now let's just go through the veteran members. I'll go through the maybe the.
We have Jim Dinnick.
Oh, I don't see him on here. Oh, I'm my apologies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please, apologies for interrupting. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm Jim Dinnick. My wife's initial is J. That's why the signature up top looks as J&J. I'm just keen to participate, being very interested in the recreational opportunities in the area.
Great. Well, thanks, Jim. Thanks for joining us. Now we're on to the veterans. So I'll go with the freshest of the veterans, who's only been on the committee, 8 years? Rob, you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. My name is Rob Ferguson. I'm, as Luke mentioned, I've been a keen member of this committee and also the Family Day Celebration Committee in the past. My colleagues here at VIU, my background is in recreation and tourism, and call me the champion of Qualicum. I talk about Qualicum an awful lot. So I'm a kindergarten to grade 12 KSS grad. 40 years or so, roots in the community, two little kids, Noah. My son's name is Noah, so I'm very grateful to see you at the committee and look forward to the contributions that we can make.
All right, thank you. Now let's go with Peter.
Peter Drummond, I've been in the area in Qualicum Beach for 27 years. So quite a veteran there. I've been on the Parks and Rec for, gosh, about 10 years, more than probably Luke would want me on there. anyhow, I continue to bring up new items. I'm very fond of this town, and I'm going to be continuing to bring up items that are related to a Parks and Rec or sometimes not related. But anyhow, I'll do my best to see these issues through. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Okay, so just for the sake of the new members, you know, we do follow an agenda, and usually Councillor Filmer is the chair. But I would say that the committee meetings are relatively informal. So if you ever, you know, feel the need to speak up, I'd encourage you to do so. And, yeah, so we'll just get started. So first thing we'll do is review the agenda itself. So I'm assuming that everyone has a copy of it in front of them. The first order of business would be to adopt the agenda. Would anyone like to make a motion to that effect?
Can we place new items on the agenda, Luke?
Absolutely.
I would like to place a couple of items on the agenda. And the first item is the laneway beautification program. I'll explain that later on.
Okay.
And the second item would be, which I indicated before, may or may not be related to this thing, but I'll put it on anyhow. It's called a wildlife management plan.
Okay. So just those two?
Yep.
Okay. So Bernie, let's amend the agenda. Let's change number 4. So it says new business, and then add Peter's two items under new business, which is 4. Does that work for everyone? Actually, so you do need a motion to amend the agenda. So does someone want to do that?
Can I ask for one more update from staff on that agenda? Just an update on the Select Committee for Family Day celebrations.
Yes.
And I'm happy to make the motion with those amendments.
Okay.
I would second if you needed one.
Okay. All right. All in favor?
Yep.
All right. So the agenda has been adopted as amended. Adoption of the minutes. Motion to adopt the minutes. So Noah, this is a good time for you to participate. Just raise your hand anytime and say you need a motion. There you go. Motion Noah seconded. I see Jim scratching his beard. Let's go with Jim. And all in favor?
Aye.
All right. Excellent. So business arising from the minutes. There's nothing arising from the minutes. So next item is 4, which we changed to new business. So now let's go through Peter's items. And then we'll do the update as the third one, which is Rob's point. Peter, do you want to introduce your items?
Yes, I will. I've thought about this for a while. It's been talked about a little bit, but it's about beautification of laneways. And what I would like to see the town do is to start on a program that involves some of the laneways. I can't specify which one though, but to make it a beautification program so that people would enjoy walking through laneways and having places to stop. And they would include, rest areas with benches. They would include gazebos and plantings of trees. I would have to wait a while before I come up with a plan. I've got an architect working on this thing who has suggested this to me some time ago. And so I'd like to bring that forward as a possible change for the town, or to include the town on the Parks and Rec program. I would like to be able to show you a plan of this, but I don't have it in front of me yet. But anyhow, that was just the concept, is to make it a very worthwhile stroll through the backyards of some areas in Qualicum. So one could start with simply one laneway, a block or so, and see how that develops. And then if it's successful, then we could move on to another one. So if there's any discussion about that, I'd like to hear about.
Can you just clarify what you mean by laneway?
The back streets, particularly in the center core of the town, so that you know, they're cleaned up a little bit, and they provide a lovely walkway with shelter. But the laneway would be, you know, back alleys.
Okay.
So a question for you, Peter, because you mentioned, you know, a few elements there. One is the idea of simply beautifying the laneways. Mm-hmm. But then the second point that you mentioned, which I think is, you know, kind of intriguing, is to have it structured more as a tour or something like that, right? So it's more like a specific route.
Yes.
So I mean, which of those is more important, or like maybe you can tell us about how those two fit together?
You're talking about a tour? You mean an organized tour?
Well, I'm just like, I heard you mention those two things, and I could see either one of them kind of expanding into its own, right? Because we have lots of laneways, and not all of them are really, you know, on the tour, I guess you could say, because they're just wild and, you know, they have trees and not really walking areas. Whereas others, you know, maybe they're just neglected and could use some love and be a part of a tour. So I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud that maybe it's a matter of kind of defining a tour and then beautifying that tour, as opposed to saying we're going to do everything.
Actually, I wasn't going that far to the tours, but I mean, that's a possibility later on. But certainly to pick one or two of these sites and simply make it into a, you know, a beautification project. That's all as far as I was going at the present time.
I think you said Rob, Luke.
I did, yeah. I was pointing at my screen. You can't tell.
I'm having multiple screens and being able to Google stuff like this, Peter, right off the bat. I noticed in 2013 there was a Town of Qualicum Beach Green Laneways project. It was published March 31st, 2013, version 3.0. So it looked more concerned with rainwater management, but it might be something that I'm struggling to see how it fits within the scope of the committee, unless you're trying to capture laneways as a trail or green space or something like that. It might be something to look at that project, the work that's already been done, and see if there's some linkages with what your thoughts are.
I'm just really throwing this one on the table here without any specifics, but I just think that, you know, any of those improvements would be very good for the town. Certainly in terms of tourism and in terms of just the older citizens wanting a place to stay or to rest off the traffic after they've, you know, gone a little walk around town. I think it'd fit in very well. But I see it fitting with Parks and Rec, certainly recreation about walking. I see no problem with that one. It's not really I suppose you could talk about parkification, but I see it more as a recreational project.
Rob, yeah, I think you make a good point, though, that it could complement the Green Laneways report. So maybe we should spend a little more time and look at that report and then come back and talk about how your concept, Peter, could fit with the concepts in that Green Laneways report.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. Maybe as a follow-up to the meeting, I'll send a link to that report to everyone, and then we could bring it up at the next meeting. So it'd be under Business Arising.
That'd be fine.
And by that point, Peter, you might even have some more details you want to share.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I have to check in with my architect friend and see if what his concepts are. He can sketch out something.
Okay.
That'd be appropriate. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess we'll just defer further consideration till the next meeting on this.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, Peter, you want to introduce your second item?
Well, let's just, if Rob had a problem with that last one, then he's going to have more of a problem with this one. I have there's an incident down the golf course about a beaver, and this perhaps could be more appropriate for the Environment Committee, but I just wanted to bring it, you know, like an FYI to this committee. about proper management of wildlife. In specific terms, I would like to mention about the problem with the town's management, because there is no management plan for wildlife. And anyhow, let me be specific about this thing. The town, in conjunction with the golf course, planned to relocate a beaver that was causing a problem with flooding down there on Elizabeth Avenue and points slightly upstream of Elizabeth Avenue on Beach Creek. Anyhow, I noticed this thing and I brought it to the board's attention. I wasn't very popular about this because people don't like to deal with these things. But anyhow, there is a proper way to deal with and I've dealt with this before because I have some academic understanding of how to manage beaver dams and that type of thing. In fact, in 2004, when they excavated the there was a beaver that was blocking the culvert between two ponds on the golf course in 2004. And anyhow, the manager of the golf course at that time was very angry with me because I was belonging to the stream keepers, and the stream keepers' mandate is to look after these animals. And so I took $100 worth of stream keeper money and built a fence down there, and the beaver moved upstream and was not a problem anymore until he died about 5 years later. So what I'm saying to the town, I contacted Oliver Watson. I don't think he was very happy with me because I pointed out to him that if you catch a beaver in January and relocate him to another spot that he's not familiar with, it's a death sentence. He will die. So anyhow, I think that's probably enough for now, but I don't think this probably shouldn't be on the Parks and Rec. Anyhow, I would bring this to the attention of the Department of the Environment, but certainly the town needs to have a wildlife policy for this type of situation. That's all I have on that one, Luke.
Okay, so I think maybe rather than getting into this one, I think you're right that this isn't the place for that environmental issue. But if you put your thoughts in writing, you can send it to me or to someone else. Why don't you send it to me? I'll make sure it gets in the correspondence and then it could be referred to the Environment Committee.
I can do that. But I just thought it's somewhat connected with what we're doing around here. But I thought it was just like an FYI for you. So anyhow, you can strike that one off.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Peter, what if the beaver is on the playing fields? Can we talk about it then? I'm just joking with you.
I don't mind jokes. Actually, the beaver won't.
I know.
He won't be there.
Okay, so I think we can move on from this item. And Rob, why don't you go?
Well, I wanted to jump on that and suggest, Peter, you know, that is a human wildlife conflict within parks and trails is a totally appropriate topic to discuss and relevant to where we live. And I'm not aware of any policy around how we do that in our parks and trails. And I'm familiar with a few of our trails that are unmaintained, right? If you're thinking about the, Laburnum Loop Trail there, beautiful trail, lots of wildlife. So it's appropriate. And it links to the recommendation from council on our role in developing policies or advising on the need for policy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's my 2 cents on there.
There you go. So Rob just showed you how you can introduce it to the committee if you would like to. So you can ponder that one. But certainly if it's in relation to the way the town manages wildlife within its parks and trails, that's definitely fair game.
Okay. But let's leave it there.
Okay. Sounds good. So Rob, you were looking for an update? Is that right?
I was looking for an update. I was grateful. I snooped on the Beach Day committee, and really encouraged to see that committee well populated. And I understand they've already met, so that's super encouraging. And was just looking, got a vested interest in Family Day. That's the you know, Qualicum Beach had the Family Day before the province did. It ran for 40 years without interruption. COVID's been the only thing to put a snag in it. So I'm just interested in whether that committee's been repopulated. The council had an opportunity to do that.
Yep. So I can give you an update on that. Yes, it has been repopulated. Yeah. It was looking pretty slim. You know, it wasn't looking good, but now it's looking much better. So I think in the next council agenda, you'll see some announcements coming out of that consideration. So
super encouraging. Thank you.
Yeah. Are you involved in that now? Or are you stepped away?
I would run some domestic risk if I got involved in that again. It's I appreciate the volunteers. I'm always willing to sort of share the knowledge that we had that I inherited from some volunteers who spent a lot of years running that event. And
okay.
Happy to do that.
Excellent. All right. Let me just pull up the agenda. Oh, okay. So status of recommendations to council. So just sort of pointing out the obvious that there's been some appointments. So welcome again. Second item under, so 5.2. So there's this item that was going back and forth. So that we be, or that the committee be tasked to draft a policy on field and trail closures. This is one that has gone back and forth to council several times. I think at the last council consideration, my recollection is that they were looking for some, you know, some guidance or leadership from members of the committee on what this policy might entail. So with that, I'll refer it back to you and maybe you can, you know, tell us where you'd like to go with this item.
Okay. If it's okay, I was the one that started this. So it's probably good if I put some context, and Kelly, Jim and Noah, like, don't, you know, jump in. But we started this conversation in October of 2020, and it has gone back and forth to council. So it's a little disheartening, to be fair, Luke, that it's come back, because the last piece was, if it's important, council should design the policy, we could advise and make it better. It's now come back that they want us to design the policy. So I'm a little disappointed in that. I don't think this is a complicated policy. Many municipalities have this kind of policy as to when we should close fields and under what processes. However, if that's the way we should go forward, I'm happy to support that work. It's going to be a copy and paste from other municipalities for feedback from council.
Okay. So how would you like to proceed? Do you have specific examples that you want to use as a reference, or?
Well, the first one I have is the City of Nanaimo. Every Friday, the City of Nanaimo puts out a field status report listing all of their field spaces, and they classify them as either open, either.
Is it just Rob that's frozen?
I think so. Yeah, good. Okay.
Yeah, I've had a few issues recently, and so I thought it was me. So I think we...
Uh-oh, he's
yep,
gone.
Yeah, we lost him. He's gone. Well, I bet he's going to rejoin us. Oh, there.
He's back.
Oh, and he's back already.
I got booted. It was very controversial. Very
welcome, Rob. So even just talking about Family Day got you booted out of the meeting.
Booted out. So how would we move forward? Okay, one suggestion might be all of us spend a little bit of time Googling and researching what we like about policies in other municipalities, come back to the next meeting with some essential elements that we want to see included, and try to capture that as in some sort of documented form, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Yeah. So if the City of Nanaimo is a good reference, then everyone could start off by looking at that.
Who should do that, Rob? Are you volunteering?
I'm happy to I would encourage all of us to do it so that it's we all do a little bit of snooping around. It's not very hard to find these sort of snippets and then just come back with what we like from different policies and within the context of our community.
Sure. Okay, so I guess we have two items we're going to come back with at the next meeting. So with that, I think we know where we're going. So I'm going to move on to number six. Oh, that was called new business. Shoot, we kind of moved things in. Yeah. Anyway, we'll fix the minutes later for you. But
can I ask a question before we move on?
Absolutely.
Does Parksville have this policy in place for trail and park closure or not?
That's a great question, Jim. I haven't looked at Parksville. I did when we initially started this conversation. I don't think I have. And one of the challenges we have in our community is the relationship with the RDN. So we've got multi layers of recreational governance or input. And so it may not even be clear as to whose policy should it be. Should it be the RDN? Should it be the city? Should it be the town? So forth. So there might be. So I don't know the answer to that, but the RDN might be a good starting point as well.
Hmm. I would think that that information is particularly useful for people who are on trails that are not necessarily in Qualicum, but are around Qualicum. So having a comprehensive bit of information on what's open, what's closed, et cetera, would be more useful than just confined to Qualicum, I would think.
Luke, a question for you. The vast majority of the parks and trails mm-hmm. which we're talking about are town-owned. Is that correct?
That's right.
I would say, I mean, I don't know if there's an RDN trail within our confines here or whether...
No, I mean, if the policy is around deciding when to close the parks and trails, you know, that's, mm-hmm. that is essentially the town because it's always... It's town land. So the town decides, you know, when the playing fields are not operable and then they close them. And the RDN is notified, but they're not mm-hmm. the ones that make the decision. So I mean, it's certainly relevant. You know, it is a policy that the town could have. It would have to be a little bit different than the city of Nanaimo because we're not the operator. So some of the language would be tweaked, but I'm pretty sure you could harvest some of the concepts from those other policies and they would apply in the town.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Jim, just because I'm fast with my fingers, I can see that Parksville does have a mechanism to communicate whether their fields are open. They don't have it quite on a regular basis as Nanaimo, probably because Nanaimo is more complicated. They just say, these are all open until further notice. Here's some guidelines to bear in mind. And it does not, I can't easily find where and when and how they would close or restrict access to those fields.
Okay. Well, I'm sure between this meeting and the next, you can figure that out, Rob. okay, so that takes care of council business. So now we're going to move on to new business. Hold on, where are we?
Waterfront roundabout.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so here we are. We're an update on staff or on current projects from staff. So I'll go through these. If anyone has any questions, just jump in and ask because otherwise I'll just keep going through the list. So waterfront roundabout, you'll note that the roundabout, of course, is in place at the foot of Memorial Avenue and 19A. The landscaping is still underway. There's going to be some sort of an artistic element in the center of the roundabout, and that is still under discussion. The preliminary concept is some sort of a First Nations art piece. So, you know, kind of stay tuned on that. We're working with Qualicum First Nation on some possibilities, but a decision hasn't been made. The second thing I would note on that point is that if you walk along the waterfront walkway, you'll see that it ends in a barricade. And that's because the plan for that area is that there's like a circular walkway that goes out over the creek, over that waterfront spit with a little bit of a viewing area and, you know, an area where you can have some information. So that's a really cool project element that we don't have funding for at the moment. So it's just a barricade until we do get funding to complete that project. And the estimated cost for that, the walkway is like, well, everything is ridiculously expensive right now, but I think 1.5 million qualifies as very expensive.
Luke, can you tell me? I thought that was included in the original contract. And some councillors thought it was included in there too. Is that incorrect?
Well, I can't speak for what the counselor's understanding was, but it was never included in the original contract.
Okay.
Second item, age-friendly wayfinding. So this is a project that the town undertook with some grant funding, and it's a series of maps and walking and cycling routes throughout the town, and they're being presented through with an age-friendly lens. So all of the routes have difficulty levels assigned to them, you know, so that people will know at the start of a trail, first of all, what the trail surfacing would be, whether there's steep hills, kind of a general description of it. So we've printed off a big whack of these maps, and there's some up at various areas, like in front of the town hall in that kiosk there, waterfront. Some other ones are still being printed. And the RDN partnered with us on this project, so they actually ran walking groups for a while, which was really neat. So they had mostly through the senior centers, so Berwick Retirement next door and the senior center, they had organized programs to walk some of these routes. And, you know, for the most part, I think the response has been very positive. You know, a few comments here and there that some of the routes weren't well picked, and, you know, fair enough. But I think overall it's been a pretty good project. Any questions about that one?
No.
Great. Okay. Rodway Trail. So there's a new set of stairs being constructed at the Rodway Trail, which, if you don't know, that's sort of at the extension of Arbutus Street on the west side of town. There was an old set of stairs going down the grade there, which happened to be mostly on the neighbor's property, so we had to remove those. And the new stairs are going to be more along the lines of what you'd see near College Road. You know, but these are going to be aluminum with fiberglass treads. The foundation pieces have already been poured, so they're in place now. The surveyors have identified each one of those points, like the piers going into the ground, and the manufacturer is now making the stairs, so it's well underway. The manufacturer is Express Custom Trailers, which is in Coombs there, so it's a local manufacturer, and I think they're hoping to get those stairs in place in the next couple months. That'll be really good. Any questions about that?
Well, I live not too far away from there, Luke, but my concern is about the time element. You know, it's been 5 years, I think, since the Rodway Trail was, you know, accessible. So I'm a little concerned about how this fits into the overall package of maintaining the trails throughout the town, because when we have a problem, it seems to go on forever. I mean, the Grandin Creek Trail, as you got down here noted, is another one. I mean, that's been shut down for 2 years now. And then there was more damage this past fall. So I'm just wondering if maybe the budget is not adequate for the tasks at hand. Do you have a comment on that?
I would say you're 100% correct in that if staff repaired everything and started the projects immediately, you know, whenever problems occurred, you know, we would significantly exceed the budget. So on a project like Rodway Trail, you know, we were able to use a lot of grant funding, right? So that saves the town a lot of money, but it's a lot slower when you have to go through those processes.
Mm-hmm.
The Grandin Creek, I mean, those stairs, they're at the end of their lifespan. So we're now in budgeting process. So we're actually budgeting to replace those stairs without any grant funding, but it still does have to go through each of the steps and actually, you know, get approval by council before the money is spent. But I mean, your point is a good one, that if we want to be getting ahead of these repairs, you know, so that they don't fail and then wait to be fixed, it would take a significant budget increase.
The wooden stairs that are being replaced on the Grandin Creek Trail, is that also going to be aluminum?
Yes, I think we'd take the same approach, aluminum with fiberglass treads.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. It's just a lot more lower maintenance in the long term.
Yep.
Yeah. And the fiberglass treads are really nice because they don't make the noise that an aluminum stair would have. Yeah. But aluminum is more cost effective and there's a local manufacturer. So, okay, waterfront park upgrades. So by waterfront park, I think it's more about the waterfront overall. So you'll know that the town got a $700,000 grant to do a variety of things on the waterfront as an implementation to the waterfront master plan. And some of those things are parking related. So for example, there's a large stretch of the central waterfront that where the ditch is going to be infilled on the north side of the road. And that's going to create quite a number of parking stalls. The alignment of those parking stalls and, you know, the sizes and all that kind of stuff, that some of the details will be the subject of public discussion, you know, because there's choices to be made. For example, if we want to allocate some of them for overnight parking or for RVs or handicap or whatever that might be. So there are decisions to be made. We're planning to take that to the next committee of the whole meeting. So that will be a subject of public discussion at the next meeting. Some other project elements as a part of that grant were there's going to be some traffic calming. So the engineers are working on details as to what that would look like. But, you know, as I think as everyone knows, the priority for the town on, especially on the waterfront, is not necessarily to move traffic at, as fast as possible, but to make it a friendly place for all types of users, you know, pedestrians, cyclists, and vehicles. So that means slowing down the cars, really, to keep everyone else safe. So we'll be looking at different options to accomplish that. And once again, we'll be talking about some of those options at the upcoming Committee of the Whole meeting. Oh, and the other, some of the other things included is there's mobile vending kiosks that we included in the grant. So these would be, you know, places where mobile vendors could operate and they wouldn't need to be running generators because these little kiosks would have like power supply and water supply. So that's the idea with the kiosks.
How many of those would there be in place?
The kiosks, I think probably 3 or 4.
Oh, that many. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if they're not used, that's okay. Right. But they'd be available and also great for special events like Beach Day. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about the Faye Smith, Interpretive Center?
Yeah.
Do you have any plans for the parking lot there? Because I have to say that our group was rather disappointed in when we handed that over to the town. We thought that would be upgraded fairly quickly. What can you say about that one?
So I do know that there is two phases to that project, which I'm sure you know that as well, Peter. So the first phase was around $200,000 and the town covered about half of that cost. And then there was a second phase, which was a bit over $200,000. And the town didn't have funding for that. And my understanding is that there wasn't, you know, Streamkeepers money for it either. So I do know council has brought it up recently, and because you're not the only one that's asked, hey, are we going to see any future improvements on that? Mm-hmm. So the answer is that there hasn't been any funding allocated. And so it's essentially a council decision whether they want to, you know, jump in and start the second phase or whether they want to, you know, continue to wait for Streamkeepers to initiate it or whatever that might be.
Does the second phase include a restroom down there? Because you have some thoughts about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So the second phase that was proposed in 2017 did not include a washroom, but the plan had a location for the washroom, right? So the plan knew where the washroom would go eventually at the time it's installed. So that even the second phase didn't include the washroom. You know, we're certainly trying to find some money for washrooms and council has identified it as a decision point. So in the next council meeting, I think we're going to see some discussion about whether or not they want to actually jump in and pay for a washroom. But if you think houses have gotten expensive, try to build a washroom. I tell you, it's mind boggling what municipalities are paying for washrooms. And so, I guarantee when the discussion comes up, people are going to be like, oh my gosh, these municipalities pay so much and are being taken advantage of, but that's, I don't think that's the case. Like construction is so expensive. The last update I had for a washroom, similar to, you know, behind the Lee House, you know, on the way to Qualicum Foods,
mm-hmm.
$350,000.
What? Yeah. The one on the waterfront that you put in, I guess 2 years now.
Yeah.
Wasn't that 280?
It was. And that was a renovation. Yeah.
Yes.
And that was much bigger. You know, that was like over 1,000 square feet. And,
yeah. You wouldn't need one that size. Yeah.
No. We'd be looking for something much simpler. So, yeah. I mean, we have talked about even simpler concepts, you know, like maybe more along the lines of what you'd see at somewhere like Rathtrevor, where I don't think we actually want an outhouse, but if you look at that level of simplicity, right, where it's just a
mm-hmm.
toilet, sink, you know, well, sink if you're lucky, right? You know, so if we went with that level of finishing, I think it would be less, but regardless, it's going to be much more expensive than people think.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Childcare center. That's under construction right now near the BMX parking lot, near Park Road.
Luke, I think Jim had a question there, and I had a comment on that one too.
Oh, thank you. And I apologize. I have the agenda up. So when I have the agenda up, I can't see anyone. So thank you for jumping in. So Jim, did you have a question?
Luke, I just wanted to add to the bathroom talk. I'm not recommending a pit toilet, but as a avid walker and cyclist, strategically located some kind of relief center would be really great, particularly for older people who are walking and may have some prostate issues or something like that. And I guess when looking as a long-term plan, it would be really good to strategize where they would be located. Now, maybe you've already done that. I'm just bringing it up.
That's a good suggestion, Jim. I mean, you know, I've certainly thought before that, you know, maybe the town should look at, you know, even porta potties as an interim step, because, you know, once you get, you know, west of our beach washrooms, like there's nothing except bushes, and that's not working for everyone. Right.
And I just want to further support that idea. You know, one of the goals, if I remember correctly, of the kind of, I hope we revisit the name of the Seaside Nature Park at some point, was for it to be an education center for the elementary school, right? Just up the road, Laburnum. So I know my own kids have done field trips there. So if you've got 30 elementary school kids down at the beach, you need a washroom.
Mm-hmm.
And so if for that site to meet its sort of goals, we have to have that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a period. And then of course it's in supporting the Brandt Festival and reinvigorating that tourism attraction for the community. So it's worth the investment. And I also just to honor and respect the citizens that raised the money and put all that effort forward to finish that off properly.
Okay. So the status is there's nothing coming quickly. If the committee were to think it was a priority to put in something temporary, you'd have to make a motion to that effect and council would consider it. Just dropping that seed out there.
I'm going to put that forward. I think we should put it forward like right away, given the fact that we've got spring and summer coming up and the alternative is people using the bushes. So I'm going to suggest yes, the motion to put in some sort of facilities in the Seaside Nature Park as soon as possible.
So it's Seaside Nature Park, but then, sorry, the other one is the former St. Andrews Park, right? Are those are the two you're talking about?
Friendly Amendment, absolutely. Both of those facilities, if they're going to be used properly, should have washroom facilities.
Okay. Sorry, Jim, didn't mean to interrupt.
I was seconding that. In particular, it's important because you cut down all the bushes I used to use.
Luke, the house that's still on the site at the St. Andrews Park, is that not got a bathroom and it's accessible?
As of right now, that building is not habitable.
Yeah,
you can't go in it without a respirator. So, okay. The washroom is not operable.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to move on. So child care center.
I think we had a motion and I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Yep. Okay. Motion. And was there a seconder for that motion?
I would second that one.
Okay. That, all in favor? All right.
Okay. So just so you know, if we get washrooms down there, that'll be the second accomplishment of this committee in like a couple of years' time. We have one basketball hoop, and if we can get washrooms, I'm going to be pretty happy.
Hey, you have a ball, dog park. I guess that was a few years ago.
Yep.
Thanks for that reality check, Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you've made many contributions outside of that, but those are some of your shining stars for sure.
Tangible.
Yeah. Anything else before we move on?
Child care center?
Child care. Okay. So the update on that is that facility is currently under construction. All the tree clearing that is going to be done for that project is already done. So you can go over there and you can and see what's going in. Foundation's been poured. The schedule at this point is that it's supposed to be totally operational by July. So then it would be open to the public, you know, before the school year. So end of summer.
Could you point out where the location of this is?
Yeah. So if you go to the parking lot at the end of Park Road, you know, on the west side of the community park,
mm-hmm.
Go to that parking lot there and you'll see the clearing and there's construction fencing all around it. There is a secondary access from Dorset Road, but that's not going to be for the general public. That's going to be an emergency access.
Okay.
Yeah. Any questions about that one?
No.
Okay. Operations facility. So the town is looking to upgrade and or consolidate its operations facility for our outside staff. That's parks and public works. The recommendation prior to a few meetings ago was that it was going to be an expansion of the current parks yard, which is adjacent to the Qualicum Beach Cemetery on Jones Street. So that would have seen some clearing of the trees west of the park yard. Council decided not to proceed with that and has directed staff to engage a consultant to do a comprehensive analysis of a number of different sites through the town to see where it should go. So the update on that is that we don't know where this new operations facility would be located, but we're looking at all the options right now. Any questions on that one?
I think that's super encouraging. My only question is, would that mean that current site that's adjacent to the cemetery be reclaimed as part of the park or made a green space or just open for debate?
Unlikely that it would ever be fully reclaimed as a part of the park, you know, because there's so much water infrastructure in that, you know, it's not really feasible to totally decommission it. If everything relocated or if most of the operations relocated, maybe portions of it would be reclaimable. But as of right now, staff are saying we can't like any of that go.
Okay.
It would be used for storage or something.
Do you have a timeline on any of this?
Yep. Yeah. So the operations facility, we're going to be engaging a consultant targeting a report by the end of the year. So I know that that's a long ways away, but it will kind of fly by and there's lots that goes into that report. You know, there's environmental impact assessments, consultation with staff, consultation with the community, you know, all sorts of stuff. So that report will come up at the end of the year and then it would be the next term of council that I'll actually make a decision as to where it goes. Okay. Moving on to Grandin Creek. So, as you noted, the trail is currently closed. First it was closed. Well, as you noted, it's been closed many times, but most recently it was closed because there's a giant sinkhole at the bottom of the trail. And so then they thought, okay, we can at least put fencing around the sinkhole so nobody goes in, and they filled it in. So it's not an active danger in any way. So then they reopened the trail for about 6 hours, and then people walked down the stairs and realized that actually the stairs weren't really safe anymore because they're getting pretty old. So now it's closed because of the stairs. And as I noted earlier, in the current budget, which is going to go to the next council meeting for consideration, there's $50,000 towards the replacement of those stairs, which we anticipate should cover the cost of aluminum stairs to replace the old wooden ones there. And assuming that budget goes forward, it shouldn't take the multiple years that the Rodway Trail took. So any questions on that?
Yeah, I have the, this is in connection with the Streamkeeper activities. We made a request of the Parks Branch to clean out the siltation area, that square tank at the bottom of the, just the head of the parking lot there. Mm-hmm. That's been 3 years now. It's full. So all the debris that comes down and is, especially the floating debris, it goes straight through into the baffles. And I noticed there's two logs down there in the caissons. So this is counterproductive because the catchment area is completely full right now, and it's just the water is shooting over the top. So anyhow, I'd like to make, if that's a part of our purview here, I'd like to make a recommendation that that they clean that out. It's I know it's not an easy job, but it's long overdue.
Peter, let me ask you, has Streamkeepers made that request to the town before?
We spoke to the town, I think, 3 years ago about that because it was full then. It's, of course, worse now.
Okay. I think actually, rather than it coming from this committee, because it is more of an environmental thing, I think a letter from Streamkeepers would be good. And once again, you can direct it to me and I'll make sure it goes to the right places. But I think that would be the place to start. They're actually looking at all that drainage right now because mm-hmm. because of the sinkhole. So, there's going to be lots of people down there working. So, maybe cleaning that out at the same time would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they have fixed up the diversion there. So that almost all the water now is directed into the new system. Mm-hmm. But of course, the sinkhole is a result of the overflow going into the old culvert mm-hmm. and then washing out, because obviously that's collapsing underneath there. So expect more of the same.
Yeah, yeah. And they're still exploring the options on that one. That's a major project. And
it is.
So you know, there's a lot of money that's been allocated in the budget to fix that. So the town mm-hmm. is fixing it, but we don't even know what the problem is completely yet. So I'm going to move on to Hemsworth.
Yep.
So yes. Hemsworth Road, if you go to Hemsworth, you'll note that there's been a number of trees planted there. And that was an initiative from the town to replace some of the trees that were removed on the Hoy Lake Trail, just above Grandin Creek there, where that multi-use pathway was put in. So council wanted to see planting elsewhere in the town. So that's most of the planting that's intended for that area is now in place. The next step of the project on Hemsworth is a multi-use trail, not a pave, but just like a gravel, mostly walking trail just to the side of the roadway. So the trail will come up closer to the road, and then the remainder of the area will reforest. And, there's lots of nice oaks and native species that have been planted back there.
Can you access any of the $2 billion tree money fund that Trudeau was promising?
I don't think we were able to get that money, but we did get BC Hydro beautification money. So if I remember it was on the order of $25,000 that we were able to get for that. So, pretty substantial contribution towards the project. We also had a private donor that donated funds for some of the larger specimen trees mm-hmm. that were planted.
But why can't that Trudeau fund or whatever was created? I mean, that was substantial. I don't know why the town couldn't get some of that, say, for the Hoy Lake Trail.
Yeah. Well, we can look into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Hoy Lake Trail specifically is a bit of an odd one because the town can't plant any trees within that area because it violates the railway's guidelines. So essentially there's a few options. One is to just let nature take its course and it will reseed naturally, or plant low stuff that doesn't violate the railway guidelines. So at the moment we're going with the hands off, let nature take its course approach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And that's all the updates for me. So if there's any other roundtable items that you would like to discuss, go ahead and speak up. Okay. Well, hearing none, next item would be future agenda items and discussion. I think we already have a few items that are going to come up under business arising from the minutes in the next meeting. So with that,
I've got one more.
Oh,
I don't want to talk about it today though, because we're not prepared in the time and stuff, but I want to just flag the ongoing discussion on the skate park.
Okay.
And reiterate how the skate park, we've established that there's a high use for that park, and that its current design is not safe and promotes behaviors that are not helpful. So I just want to highlight that it's a topic we need to revisit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, Rob. So do you want to put that on the next agenda?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right, and everyone's welcome to take a field trip to the skate park. Just, be careful in the meantime. Okay, with that, next agenda item is a motion to adjourn. So, Noah, this is where you raise your hand again. Okay. Noah, any seconder?
You don't need a seconder.
Well, then there you go. All in favor? Okay.
Thank
Thanks, everyone. Good
Thank
to see you.
Luke.
And welcome to the new committee members.
Yep,
absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.